So today we are starting to read from the 14th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled King Bhagavatam, enchanted by Urvashi. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're going to read the chapter summary first. The summary of this 14th chapter is given as follows. This chapter describes Soma, unhappy, kidnapped the wife of Brahaspati and begot in her womb a son named Buddha. Buddha begot Pururava, who begot six sons, headed by Ayu in the womb of Urvashi. Lord Rama was born from the lotus that sprouted from the navel of Garbhodakshayi Vishnu. Brahma had a son named Atri, and Atri's son was Soma, the king of all drugs and stars. Soma became a conqueror of the entire universe, and being inflated with pride, he kidnapped Tara, who was the wife of Brahaspati, the spiritual master of the demigods. A great fight ensued between the demigods and the Asuras, but Brahma rescued Brahaspati's wife from the clutches of Soma and returned her to her husband, thus stopping the fighting. In the womb of Tara, Soma begot a son named Buddha, who later begot in the womb of Ila a son named Ila, or Pururava. Urvashi was captivated by Pururava's beauty, and therefore she lived with him for some time, but when she left his company, he became almost like a man. While traveling all over the world, he met Urvashi again at Kurukshetra, but she agreed to join with him for only one night in a year. One year later, Pururava saw Urvashi at Kurukshetra and was glad to be with her for one night, but when he thought of her leaving him again, he was overwhelmed Urvashi then advised Pururava to worship the Gandharvas. Being satisfied with Pururava, the Gandharvas gave him a woman known as Agnishtali. Pururava mistook Agnishtali for Urvashi, but while he was wandering in the forest, his misunderstanding was cleared, and he immediately gave up her company. After returning home and meditating upon Urvashi all night, a nice love story, he wanted to perform a Vedic ritualistic ceremony to satisfy his desire. Thereafter, he went to the same place where he had left Agnishtali, and there he saw that from the womb of a Shami tree had come an Ashwata tree. Pururava made two sticks from this tree and thus produced a fire. By such a fire, one can satisfy all lusty desires. The fire was considered the son of Pururava. In Satyayuga, there was only one social division called Hamsa. There were no divisions of Varna like Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra. The Veda was the Omkara. The various demigods were not worshipped, for only the Supreme Personality of Godhead was the worshipable deity. Okay, next one. Shri Shuku Vacha.
Shri Shuku Vacha.
Atata. Shruyatam.
Rajam.
Ahvamshah. Samasya. Pavanah. Yasmin. Ailadayo. Bhupah. Kirtyante punya kirtiyaha Shishivacha. Atta Shuyatam Rajavan. Vamsha Somasya Pavanaha. Yasmin Naila Dehohupa. Kirtyante Punya Kirtayaha. Shishubu Bacha. Atta Shuyatam Rajahun. Vamsha Somasya Pavanaha. Minnaila deho bhupa. Kirtyante punya kirtiyaha. Shishubhu bhacha. Tatta shuyatam rajahun. Vamsha somasya pavanaha. Minnaila deho bhupa. Kirtyante punya kirtiyaha. Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, Atta, now after hearing the history of the dynasty of the sun, Ataha, therefore, Shuryatam, just hear from me, Rajan, O King, Maharaja Parikshit, Vamsha, the dynasty. Somasya, of the moon god. Pavanaha, which is purifying to hear about. Yasmin, in which dynasty? Aila Adayaha, headed by Aila Pururuba. Upa, kings. Kithyante are described. Punya Kirtiyaha, persons of whom it is glorious to hear. Okay, translation. Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, Srila Sukadeva Goswami said to Maharaj Pariksit, O king, thus far, you have heard the description of the dynasty of the sun god. Now hear the most glorious and purifying description of the dynasty of the moon god. This description mentions kings like Aila, Pururuba, of whom it is glorious to hear. So you can repeat. Srila Shukadeva Goswami said to Maharaj Parikshit, O King, thus far you have heard the description of the dynasty of the sun god. Now hear the most glorious and purifying description of the dynasty of the moon god. This description mentions kings like Ayla Pururava, of whom it is glorious to hear. So the next few verses have no purport, so we'll just keep reading. Just a few verses this time. Text 2. Sahasa shirasa pumso navi vradak suro ruhat jatasya sitsuto datur atri pitri sam mohunahai. Lord Vishnu, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, is also known as Sahasra Shirsha Purusha. From the lake of his navel sprang a lotus on which Lord Brahma was generated. Atri, the son of Lord Brahma, was as qualified as his father. So, text 3. Tasha Vridhyo Bhavaputra Soma Mrita Mayakila Vipral Shad Yudu Gadadam Brahmana Kalpita Pataki. From Atri's tears of jubilation was born a son named Soma, the moon, who was full of soothing rays. Lord Brahma appointed him the director of the Brahmanas, drugs, and luminaries. And, purport by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. According to the Vedic description, Soma, the moon god, was born from the mind of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Chandrama Manaso Jataha. But here we find that Soma was born from the tears in the eyes of Atri. This appears contradictory to the Vedic information, but actually it is not. For this birth of the moon is understood to have taken place in another millennium. When tears appear in the eyes because of jubilation, the tears are soothing. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, Avritya Ananda Shubhya Atra Evamrita Maya. Here the word Vridhya means from tears of jubilation. Therefore the moon god is called Amrita Mayaha, full of soothing rays. In the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, fourth canto, first chapter, text 15, we find this verse. Atre patshyana suyatrin yogne suyashavaksha sutan tandurasas ham somam atmesha brahma sambhavan. This verse describes that Anasuya, the wife of Atri Rishi, bore three sons, Soma, Durvasa, and Dattatreya. It is said at the time of conception, Anasuya was impregnated by the tears of Atri. Okay. So, Om Ganat Tindavanda Shah, Gananjana Shlakya Chakshuru Nivitam, Yena Tasmayu. So the story from the fourth canto describing the appearance of Soma is actually quite interesting. It's a little bit more, a lot more elaborate than that. So you have Atri Muni, who is the son of Lord Brahma, and his wife Anasuya, wanting to have children. But Atri Muni had a very specific desire. And that desire was to have a son, just listen to how I say this, like that of the Supreme Personality of God, or like the Supreme Personality of God. Now, it's a little bit different than wanting to have a son who is the Supreme Personality of God. Remember the difference? Because with pure devotees, of course, then they not only want sons, who are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but actually they want sons who are pure preachers and carry out Krishna consciousness, like Bhakti Vinod Thakur. He prayed for a ray of Vishnu. He didn't pray for Vishnu. But he was praying out of pure devotional service. In other words, he was praying, please Krishna, send me a ray of Vishnu that can accomplish and carry out Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission of spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. And that was his prayer. And of course, Srila Prabhupada, he also prayed in a very pure, Srila Prabhupada's father, also prayed in a very pure Krishna conscious way. He prayed for Srimati Radharani to send someone. And of course, that was Srila Prabhupada. So these are pure devotees who pray to have children for a specific purpose. Whereas sometimes you find mixed devotees, and Atri Muni, it's described in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, was a mixed devotee. So he wanted someone like God, which is quite interesting. So, and he really wasn't sure who God was either, because he hadn't read Srila Prabhupada's books. As they say, to love God, you have to know God, and to know God, you have to read or hear about his pastime to know who God is. So he had, you know, he didn't have really a clear conception who the Supreme Personality of Godhead was. In fact, he was asking, basically, for Jagannath. He didn't say Lord Jagannath, but Jagannath in the sense of Lord of the Universe. That's what he was praying for. Please, I want a son like Lord of the Universe. That can mean a whole bunch of different things. A whole bunch of different things. It could mean Lord Brahma. He's the Lord of the Universe, right? Isn't he? Because he's the original Prajapati. And then you have Lord Shiva, who's also the Lord of the Universe. Because at the time of the creation, Lord Vishnu glanced at the Pradhan, the unmanifest stage of the three modes of material nature. And that glance was called Shambhu or Shiva. So Lord Shiva is also the Lord of the Universe. And Lord Vishnu is also the Lord of the Universe. But we can talk about practically any of the Lord Vishnu expansions that are lords of the universe. I mean, you got, isn't it? The Purusha avatars. You have Mahavishnu. And he's the Lord of the universe. You have Bharadakshaya Vishnu, who's the Lord of the universe. You have Shirodakshaya Vishnu, who's the Lord of the universe. And of course, also you have Lord Jagannath and Jagannath Puri. So, I mean, even you talk about any of these Vibhi Nangsha expansions, or even the Angsha expansion, the Shvamsa expansions, or Vibhi Nangsha expansions. Because Lord Brahma is the Vibhi Nangsha, generally. He's the Jiva soul. And there's all these different types of expansion. It's interesting, actually, this whole study of expansions. You know, Swamsa, Divinamsa, and Angsa. Angsa. It's interesting, even with Angsa, you can have a Jiva soul who has Angsa expansions. That's interesting, isn't it? I mean, if you think about it. Like, Krishna has all the expansions, which are, of course, the Divinamsa is the Jiva souls. And the Swamsa, that's the Vishnu Tattva expansions. And then even the... And then Krishna also has Anshas, and the Jiva souls also have Anshas. Anshas basically means part and parcel. That's described in the... I was just reading this in the first canto by Krishna's grace. He's given me more opportunity to read the last few days. He's very merciful whenever he gives you a knockout punch, it's for a purpose. So, in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it's described about the passing away of Grandfather Bhishma. Grandfather Bhishma, it's generally described in the Mahabharata that he came from the heavenly planets because he had committed this offense of stealing the desire cow of Vasishtha Muni. I think everybody knows that story. And he was one of the heavenly personalities. His name is Yah. So, but it also appears that there's a, not just appears, described, there's a pure devotee in the spiritual world of whom who Grandfather Bhishma is an expansion of. And when Grandfather Bhishma appeared, the pure devotee in the spiritual world and his Ansha, his expansion, appeared in this material world. It's interesting, isn't it? He's one of the heavenly bosses. In the heavens, he's one of the bosses. The bosses. Anyway. So, and then at the time, the Bhagavatam describes, I should have probably, but actually, I'm sorry, it's Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur who describes in his purport that when Grandfather Bhishma left his body, he was on, of course, the battlefield, lying down the bed of arrows, and after he gave instructions to Yudhisthira Maharaj, who was reluctant to take on the position of emperor, but he did it as a matter of duty. After he gave those instructions, then sort of the original Bhishma went back to the spiritual world, and the Ansha, his expansion, went back to heaven, or one of the heavenly planets, and became one of the Vasus again. It's interesting, isn't it? That's Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur talks about it. It's specifically what he talks about in purport. It's just very interesting how, I mean, it has nothing to do with the topic of the verse today. We're talking about expansion, Swamsa, Vivinamsa, Ansha. How even the jiva souls, they can expand. And of course, in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, it describes how the various associates of the Lord, the Anicca Parshadara, that means the eternal associates of the Lord, in the various realms in Vaikuntha, are all expansions of personalities in the Loka Vrindavan. That's also very interesting. In other words, pure devotees, and they can be in more than one place, they can expand. And I just reading that is just, to me, it's just like absolutely inconceivable. I mean, I have to admit, you know, I can't. I mean, I can understand it theoretically, but it's absolutely inconceivable. And actually, that's the Lord. He's inconceivable, and the Lord's pure devotees are inconceivable, and this whole material world is inconceivable, and how we're trapped in Maya is inconceivable, and how we're going to be able to get out is inconceivable. I think, you know, basically, I've come to the conclusion, basically, as Lord Brahma said, you know, I don't understand anything. Anyway, except Krishna's God, he's attractive. That much I know, for sure. Anyway, so getting back to the story of Atri Muni. So Atri Muni was praying for a son, Vaik, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so, as a result, after his prayers, you know, the tears of Atri Muni pregnant his wife, right before his wife gave birth, the three primary gods, one of whom is the actual Supreme Personality of Godhead, appeared before Atri Muni. And of course that was Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. They're called the Guna avatars. There's different types of avatars. So Guna avatar means the entities, and one of whom was actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who are in charge of the different modes of nature. And so, basically, they took Atri's prayers as indicating all three of them. So they all appeared, and they were riding their various vehicles. Like, of course, Lord Vishnu, he came on Garuda, Lord Brahma came on a swan, and Lord Shiva, he came on his vehicle. So anyway, so they all came down, and they said, "We're very pleased with you." And basically, Atri Muni said, "Which one of them of you did I actually call?" And they said, "All of us." So all of us are going to appear as your children. So actually, the way they appeared as his children later on, when his wife gave birth, were as expansions of those personalities. And of course we're talking about Soma. Let's talk about Soma first. So Soma is an expansion basically of Lord Brahma. Although he becomes the Milk Moon God, he's not Lord Brahma. But he's an expansion of Lord Brahma, empowered by Lord Brahma, and he becomes the moon god. And then you have Dattatreya, who is, as Srila Prabhupada comments, he's a Jivatattva, that means Shaktivesh avatar of Lord Vishnu. And Dattatreya is renowned for, Prabhupada in two different places, teaching mystic yoga, and even talks about Sankhya yoga. Because generally when we think about Sankhya yoga, we think about Lord Kapiladeva, the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But, and then in other places, Prabhupada talks about how Dattatreya, anyone who follows Dattatreya is an atheist in certain places, even though he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And of course, we have some indications of similar circumstances occurring, like in the case of Lord Shiva, Shankara. Anyone who follows Shankara is actually an atheist. And anyone who follows Buddha, you know, I don't want to offend any of the Buddhist people at the university, because I know you're preaching there. But anyone who follows at least the misinterpretation of Buddha's teaching, because really Buddha didn't talk about spiritual things. He really just talked about psychology. And basically we accept whatever he talked about. And as far as psychology is concerned, you know, attachment causes the suffering, give up the attachment, give up the suffering, give up the suffering, follow right living, you know, right thinking, etc., like that. So basically, it's not that if we listen to every incarnation of the Lord, we're going to go back to Godhead. That's interesting, too, isn't it? Because sometimes if you listen to an incarnation of the Lord or an incarnation of Lord Shiva, it's come to bewilder you. In fact, it describes in the Padma Purana that Lord Shiva says that in Kali Yuga, I'll appear to bewilder the atheists. And if you read that particular verse to people who are Shaivites, they get really angry with you. So I don't advise you to read that verse to them. So Dattatreya, he basically preached something that wasn't really pure devotional service, more Sankhya yoga and mystical yoga. For those of you who like to do like a Sankhya yoga and things like that, he's your guru. So that was Dattatreya. And then the third person was Durvasa, who was considered to be an expansion of Lord Shiva. And of course, there's many, many stories about Durvasa in the Vedic literature. The word Durvasa, in fact, means someone who has a bad temper. And generally we find Durvasa losing his temper and cursing, like he did in the case of Maharaj Ambarish, and then he learned his lesson, and then he got attacked by the Chakra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Oh, just one other point about Dattatreya. It's very interesting that Prabhupada comments, and Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur comment, that Dattatreya was the, in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, he's the Avaduta Brahman who instructed King Yadu. So he was the one who enlightened. So not only did he preach like something that was not quite devotional service, Sankhya yoga and mystic yoga, but also he preached devotional service, and in this way enlightened King Yadu and the whole Yadu dynasty that occurred after that particular point. So here we find this particular dynasty being described, and Atrimuni, who is the beginning of this. And oh, just another thing is, we find quite an incredible description of how tears were going to be able to impregnate his wife. And now, you know, you hear about all these incredible births, and you read the Mahabharata, practically nobody has a normal birth in the Mahabharata. You know, people appear, Dronacharya appears out of the pot, and you know, and Vashishtha at one point after he passed away, he also appeared in the descendant of Mitra Varuna. I mean, it's all these different descriptions of the Pandus appear from the demigods. It's hard to find someone who had a regular appearance. And we may become incredulous when we hear these things. Incredulous means we don't believe it. How is it possible? I mean, these are just stories. But actually, there's more going on in the universe that meets our limited vision. just like nowadays, of course, with the advent of different technological means, like microscopes, electron microscopes, and everything like that, or telescopes, or whatever. As scientists, they discover things that are quite amazing. For example, you have a microscope, and you even look at your skin, there's all these like creatures crawling there that are, actually some of them live for like hundreds of years, you can't even kill them, live in the skin. And there's all sorts of things happening in this universe on the microscopic level, on the all-dimensional level, that we're not aware of. I mean, even the scientists talk about, you know, people have belief or faith in the science, and they talk about dark matter, which they've never seen, or dark energy, which they've never seen, or they just have indirect information, indirect measurements of, they just speculate. It's just like Paul, when I was in the university, when some equation didn't work out, or some computation didn't work out, we had something called the fudge factor. I don't know if any of you remember that in the university. That you add a little bit of a figure there just to fudge it, you know, so that way it works. The fudge, you know, it's not talking about something you mean, like the fudge factor, but, you know, fudging the result. So scientists speculate about things that we've never seen, that may not exist. And we have great faith in that. But rather, it's better to have faith in Krishnamurti's descriptions here. And I don't have any problem believing that someone was born from tears. People nowadays are born from test tubes. So tears appear to be more organic than test tubes. Anyway, so these are some of the descriptions here, and you just hear without speculation, without doubt, as Krishna says in the Gita, Ashrana Puriksha Dharma Shasha Kavandapa Aprapyaman Nivartante Vijusam Saravartani. That those who don't have faith, Purusha, in Supreme Person, that person, I'm sorry, Purusha, Ashrana Puriksha, Dharma Shasha Kavandapa, in this Dharma, the description of the Vedic literature, Aprapyaman Nivartante Vijusam Saravartani, they return to birth and death in the material world. So, of course, our challenge is in presenting these things to the public. And sometimes they become afraid, which is understandable. And what Prabhupada said, or how Prabhupada described we should present these things, you know, after someone reads these inscriptions and says, wow, you people believe this stuff, then the best strategy I found is to actually say to them, it's good you don't believe it. The reason is because Prabhupada said doubt is a sign of what I went on? Intelligence. So it's good you don't believe this because you don't believe things blindly. Like Prabhupada said, blind following and absurd inquiries are condemned. So we can use that as sort of a preaching tool. We say, yeah, it's good you don't believe it. So what I would say is you follow the process and see if these things are revealed to you. That's all. You don't have to believe everything. You know, if you're not a devotee, you're not initiated. When you're initiated, you better listen. Or you're going to hell. Anyway, so I'm just joking. But, you know, someone should admit their doubts. Actually, the point is that if someone has doubts in anything, in Krishna consciousness, of course, I have doubts about the material world. More doubts every day about the enjoyment in the material world, and in Krishna's arranging that. But you should present these doubts to the authorized personalities, and that's how doubts are cleared. Like Arjuna, he had so many doubts. In the Bhagavad Gita, he said, you know, what happens if someone, you know, does this devotional service and they don't just quite make it? You know, what's going to happen, Krishna? This is my doubt, right? And then Krishna says, you know, one who has done good is never overcome by evil. And then Krishna presents this whole thing that Suchinam Srimatam gave me Yoga Brasha Prasad. So that even if you become a fallen yogi, course, Bhagavatam also talks about this. He says, you better have one moment of Krishna consciousness than a whole lifetime without Krishna consciousness. Because Swabhamapi Ashudharma Shadvayate Mahatobaya. So Krishna answers Arjuna's doubts. So doubts are not bad. We should remember that. You know, if you feel incredulous about these things, ask. And don't hammer someone who has the doubts. Understand that that's their intelligence. Very, very important point. So, anyway, we have about 3 more minutes. Yes?
So, some places in the Bhagavatam we see, you know, that we see the term Supreme Personality of God, and in other places for incarnation we see the word Personality of God. So, is it Krishna's Supreme Personality of God and then the Vishnu forms, or are these other forms that, if you say, some of them going to, you know, back to God, they would be the personality of Godhead, or the person, but they're not the eyes?
Well, I've heard Vishnu described as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, too.
Okay.
So I think contextually, the both of those are used in different circumstances. We just have to understand based on the philosophy. I mean, I heard Vishnu described, or Lord Nrsingadev described as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we know Lord Nrsingadev is an expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he comes from the Lord Vishnu. Actually, all the incarnations in this world expand from Lord Vishnu, except for Krishna. Krishna is the original. And sometimes Prabhupada says, original Supreme. You know, the nomenclature changes. Prabhupada sometimes says, original Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that's in reference to Krishna. So, yeah.
I was just wondering, I don't know, because we know that there are a couple of kapilas.
Yeah, there's an atheist kapila and an incarnation kapila.
And I was just wondering whether there is Tilaka, that attorneys, I have no idea.
Yeah, I'm sure there are. I'm sure there's several. But Prabhupada actually talked about, in many places, he uses the word Dr. Trey. He doesn't distinguish, he doesn't say there's an atheist or a different Dr. Trey. Whereas in the case of Kapila, the Prabhupada actually says there's a different Lord Kapila. Prabhupada never makes that. I mean, I've looked up Dr. Treya in Prabhupada's books, and he Prabhupada never says different Dr. Treya than the original Dr. Treya. But whereas in Kapila, he always says that. He said there's an atheist and a theist Kapila Dev. And of course, Lord Kapila Dev taught Sankhya, but in a devotional way, and of course, that's in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Devotional Sankhya. And he actually teaches a lot of things about devotional service, like devotional service in the modes of nature. I mean, there's a lot of stuff there that's really applicable to us. I mean, original Sankhya is not so much applicable to us, Sankhya Yoga. They're actually a pair in the six darshans. Sankhya and Yoga are one of the pairs. You understand? Each of these, in these six, the six darshans, you know, Sankhya Yoga, like that. Each two form pairs, and Shankar and Yoga are actually a pair, one of those pairs. So, Lord Kapila, the original Lord Kapila, they teach us about devotional service in addition to just Shankar Yoga. So, any other questions or comments about these points? Yes. I think it's Kushal, the original person. Someone like the Supreme Personality. Yeah.
I heard that because people are predisposed to atheism, sometimes the Lord's incarnations are empowered personalities come and spread these teachings to attract them and have
them trick them.
Indirectly, is that true?
Yeah, that's true. Prabhupada says we trick people worship Lord Buddha as God, and even though, you know, his preaching was not exactly our Siddhanta, to trick people to worship God. It's like we get people to chant Hare Krishna and they don't even know what it is, or Govinda, or Gauranga. So, Nitai. Nitai, Gauranga. So that's actually Krishna's trick. Yes, good question.